City Church White Oak Campus. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Keep clapping for God and also for the gift that God's given us here at the White Oak Campus, our amazing worship team. Thank you so much for leading us into the presence of God every single week and continuing to do so. It is an honor and a privilege to serve with each and every one of you and helping people get closer to Jesus. And that's not just for the people that were on the stage today. That's for everybody that makes up our worship team across all four locations of Bridge City Church. It's amazing to see the gifting that God's pulling out of people. But if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak Campus of Bridge City Church. You heard Matt introduce me. That's the first time I've ever heard anybody say Pastor Nick Stepanovic. I was like, I thought he was going to say my middle name and get me in trouble or something. And now Pastor Nicholas Joseph Stepanovic. Listen, if I haven't met you yet, I'm so happy you're here. If you've been here for any amount of time, you've heard me say this and you'll continue to hear me say it. There's literally no place I'd rather be this side of heaven than right here with you all worshiping God and praising his name. And it's an honor and a privilege, and I'm very humbled to get the opportunity to deliver today's message today, which is a continuance of our series entitled Big Picture. And Matt shared that we're going to answer two questions. Actually, we're going to answer a bunch more, but the main two questions that we're going to talk about today are, what are we going to do when we see the real perspective, okay? That's a one question. But the other two questions are behind me on the screen. You can take a picture of them, but I know that each and every one of us have probably asked the question, if not asked the question, you may be asking the question right now, why do bad things happen to good people? If you're not asking that question right now, you've probably asked that question before, or I'm preparing you, you're going to ask that question. The second one is, why does God allow pain and suffering? We're going to talk about these two questions, and these two questions really hinge some things together within our faith. What our view of the answer of these two questions are changes so much in our lives. You know, today's message is really not just about answering questions, but it's helping us to see, how do we trust God and how do we know his heart when we can't see his hand? We don't necessarily know how he's moving, but we know who he is. How do we walk through those things? Another thing that we're going to ask you to do is that if you're going through something in your life, that you don't suffer in silence. You don't keep it to yourself. You don't try to just white knuckle it. You reach up for peace and you reach out for comfort. You reach up for peace and out for comfort. Up for peace, out for comfort. That's all. You see? It's quick. It's easy to do, but it's uncomfortable to do. That's why only a couple of you went like this with me. It's uncomfortable, but it is simple. Some here may want just an intellectual answer to these questions, and I'm not going to give you one. Some want a really deep theological answer to these questions. We want something intellectual and theological, but we're asking it from a personal point of view. I'm going to speak to all of us today, but I want you to take the answers to these questions, and I want you to take it personal. Not just like take it personal, oh, he offended me. No, I want you to take it personal and take it home with you and walk in it and care in it to dedicate your life to the answers that we're going to talk about today. James 1, verses 2 through 4. I barely made it past the comma when I started preparing for this message and reading these verses. And here's why. My brethren, everybody say my brethren. Do you know what that means? It means importance. It means a relationship. It means, hey, listen here, brother, I'm going to tell you something. The way I just said it made me think of Randy Savage. Listen here, brother. Or no, that's Hulk. Yeah. Oh, rest in peace. He met Jesus. He did. He got baptized. But this statement, my brethren, is you understanding the importance and your position as somebody who's loved, somebody who's cared for, somebody that people love you enough to tell you what you need to hear. So place yourself in that position right now. My brethren, my family, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, my aunts, my uncles, everybody, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Wait a second. Why couldn't we just say it? Hey, everybody's family. We're all friends. We're all going to encourage each other. No, joy. Count everything that you're going through in your life as joy. If you're keeping score, I hate keeping score this way, but the 1, 2, 3, 4 slash, I don't like, but think about that. Think about this side's joy and this side is despair and frustration. Despair and frustration should not score any points anymore when you meet Jesus. It should be joy, 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 slash, joy, 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 slash, joy. Come on, right? That's what, because we're called to count everything as joy. Not just some stuff, not the stuff that's easy, not the stuff that people can see, not the stuff you want to celebrate on social media. Count everything as joy. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. I'm sure there's people in this room, you've prayed for patience before, and guess what God gave you? An opportunity to be patient. Yeah. Yeah. He didn't just say, oh, there you go. You're not even going to notice when you're going through. No, you got opportunities to be patient. You want to test your flesh and really get to a point where you know that you're patient? Stop looking for the shortest line in Aldi. Look for the long one. Stop looking for the shortest line at Walmart or Trader, wherever you're going. Look for the longest line. Tell your flesh to get behind you. And see what God does whenever you put yourselves in opportunities to be used. I've had more conversations in the line at Aldi than I have in most places. I've had more conversations at Target because I utilize what God's given me. Hey, can you get that off the top shelf for me? Yes, I can, but let me tell you something. My favorite answer to that question is, no, I'm off today. I will be doing no height requirement jobs. But let that patience have its perfect work. Everybody say perfect.
Perfect.
That you may become perfect and complete and lacking nothing. There's so much in these verses. It's mind-boggling. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to count it. Let this be the leading thought in your mind. Joy. Joy again. Joy's winning. Joy's going to continue to win. Count it that way. These trials that we're going to go through, there's going to be tests. There's going to be adversity. The struggle is joy. Patience, remaining under and enduring the challenge. Endurance. Yeah. That's what I said. Amen. To be complete, to be developed into maturity and moral character. The more patience you have, listen, the more trials you're going to go through, the more trials you go through, the more times you can count it. Joy. Yeah. I hope there's people walking around today just joy, 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 slash. I'm making a shirt. 1, 2, 3, 4. Joy. That's all recorded that I said I'm making it. If one of you make it, I'm copywriting it. This completeness, we're to be walking closer with Jesus every single day so that we can get to a point where we're finally complete. And guess what that point is? It's not Friday of this week. It's heaven. Yeah. Yeah. Eternity is when we're going to be complete. But we get to walk every single day and count it all as joy and go through the trials and the tests and the adversity. We get to be patient in all those things. And guess what the result is going to be? Faith. Faith is not built in times of adversity. Faith is revealed in times of adversity. God's just not going to give you faith in him when you're going through something. No, he's going to pull the faith that's already in you out when you're going through it. Adversity reveals what was already in there. If you're walking in faith, faith's going to come out. If you're walking in fear and lack and anxiety and depression, all those things are real. But if you're not walking in faith first, it can't be pulled out, drawn out of us. COVID is the perfect example of this. What was in people's lives was revealed through COVID. If you had a test, which they do, and I've taken these tests, and I've passed with flying colors, that I am exorbitantly, I'm not introverted at all. There's zero introvert in my life, except for the 49% that my wife is. She is 49%. But whenever COVID came along, it revealed the people that were really struggling were the extroverts that were like, I am not allowed to be around people. Why are we having social distancing? Can't we just have physical distancing? We need social interaction. We need people. We need to talk to people. Now, the other thing that was revealed were the introverts were like, yep, this is great. You mean I don't have to talk to anybody? I get to stay home and no one's going to be around me. Lock it down. Right? That's what it revealed. It revealed what was already in there. You didn't just become an extrovert all of a sudden. You were already an extrovert. You didn't just become an introvert all of a sudden. You were already introverted. So it just revealed what was already in there. When you go through stuff, you could put in any S word there you want. But this is G. This is G. This is God rated. When you go through that stuff, and when that stuff hits the fan, what comes out of your life is already what's in there, your faith. Yeah. Yeah. You know what instills the faith in your life? Not going through trial after trial after trial. It's going to him and learning from him and his word, spending time with him in worship. Faith is not given in times of adversity. It's revealed and it's drawn out because of what you've placed in. You were created to run on a relationship with Jesus. You were created to run on that. You can't put diesel in a regular car engine. You can't put regular gas in a diesel engine. It won't run. You keep putting faith and fear in, you keep putting fear in your life instead of faith, and you're not going to run to the fullest extent that you were created to run. We're called to be complete. Now listen, how do we walk in this? One of the best ways to walk in this faith over fear mentality is to break the misconceptions that we have in our life. And there are two huge ones that if you become a son or daughter of the King, you receive God, that you're going to get this moral formula that if I obey and I do what is right, everything will be okay. My life will be problem free. Wrong. 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 As a matter of fact, if I'm going to be completely honest with you, let me share an example. I have been completely honest with you, but if I'm going to be even more honest, when you meet Jesus, things are going to get harder because everything around you is going to become a test, a trial. Everything around you is going to be something that's going to pull the faith out of your life. So let me give an example. There was some men in our connection group last semester. They all got baptized at the same time on the same week. Same week. Amazing. It was awesome, right? One of them sitting in the second row here is named Sean. Now, listen, they all got to group the following Wednesday after that Sunday. They were all there early. Chris, it was no different for him. He's a half hour early every single week. If he's not the first one to walk in, I'm scared. 6:26 is usually his time, and 8:36 is his hard stop, and he's walking out the door. But they all got there early that week because we were having a fire and a cookout, and Chris loves fires. And they all looked at each other, and they said, "Has your week been horrible? Since we got baptized, has everything kind of been like rough? has everything kind of like, just everything came to a head? And they're like, yeah. Yeah, and I'm just sitting at the Blackstone, just listening. But there was a switch in their life. They went from just going to church to being the church, to identifying with Jesus publicly in front of all of you. And then some of them even posted these pictures online, and thousands of people see it. And now, guess who doesn't like that? The enemy. Because the enemy loves when you just come to church and sit there and get your coffee. Thank you to our cafe team. It's phenomenal. Great. Here. You get your coffee, you sit down, you worship, you hear the word, and then you leave. The enemy loves that. Keep doing that. Keep walking in that. If you're not going through some tests and some trials in your life right now and being challenged to do something differently because of what you're reading and hearing in the Word of God, then the enemy loves that. Loves it. Here's the second one. We are good people. No, you're not. But I have a good heart. The only reason you have a good heart is because God says He dwells there. That's the only way. You're like, well, I got a good heart. I just went to the cardiologist last week. Congratulations on the update. I'm happy, but you're not a good person. I'm not a good person. The world is not full of good people. We're broken people that need to be put back together every single day. But wait a second, I do good things. I say good things about people sometimes. The only way that we are good is if we're following the one who is perfect, the only one that ever was, Him, Jesus. We are deceitful and we fall short. That's what's in us. If that wasn't what was in us, we wouldn't need to read Romans 6, verse 23, that for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Everybody in this world is working a job of sin, and one day they're going to get paid for it if they didn't receive the free gift that God's given us. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. Hebrews 2, verse 15, God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory, and it was only right that He should make Jesus through His suffering. Everybody say suffering. Suffering. Woo! A perfect leader to fit and bring them into their salvation. We're going to talk about what suffering looks like in the Bible, and our first example is Jesus. That's who Jesus is, was whenever He was walking on this earth. He was lonely, discouraged, tempted, misunderstood, in an emotional and relational pain, and all that was stuff that Jesus went through. And guess how He kept score? Joy. He walked through all the things that we walk through on a daily basis. Emotional despair, relational pain, all of these things, feeling lonely, feeling beat down and discouraged, feeling tempted, feeling misunderstood. Jesus walked through it in such perfectness. We got to follow that. We have to. If I serve Jesus, and if you serve Jesus, and if we serve Jesus, and we say that we're a Christian, I should understand that I'm not only going to have problems, trials, and suffering, but they're promised. I am not somebody that wants to walk through life thinking, oh, nothing bad's ever going to happen. Because when it does, you want to just crawl under a rock and stay there. We're going to have things go on in our life. It is not so that we won't have trials and temptations and troubles and all of these things. We should not have this nothing bad's going to happen mentality. Let's look at another example. Let's look at Job. There once was a man named Job. I want to sing a song every time. I was told by people that were raised in church that there is not a song, in fact, that starts, there once was a man named Job. And it should. Because it should set you up for what you're about to read. Like, you should start in a way that you're understanding, like, I need joy first. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. Okay, we all know who Job is, right? Yes? A man that was overflowing with integrity, a man that was complete in knowing who he is and whose he was. Then we go to verse 12. All right, you may test him. The Lord said to Satan, do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but do not harm him physically. So Satan left the Lord's presence. And then it was on. Job went through it. You want to read a book of the Bible that's going to give you a fresh perspective of how you should walk through things? Read Job. It is not this huge uplifting story, but it is a challenging portion of the Bible that's going to cause you to walk in such an upright way because you see your stuff differently. Let's talk about the Apostle Paul and his prophetic call to people and to the church. We don't invite people to church this way, but we should maybe. Gopher Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as to the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for his name's sake. Listen, nobody uses this as a church invitation. Imagine this. Hey, Tommy, we got new times coming up. Three now, not just two times on Sunday that you can suffer, but three times now. Three. Go check them out, man. Three times. Come suffer with me. We don't do that. But maybe we should. Maybe we should be so real and open and honest with people that, listen, there's going to be suffering, but I want to invite you to a place that's going to give you hope. I want to invite you to a place that's going to give you hope to walk through the things that are going on in your life and in our lives and in the world around us. I want you to be a hope dealer. I didn't say dope dealer, hope dealer. Matt Klingensmith, go ahead and stand up. Matt is not only an elder at the church, but he's a hope dealer numerous days during the week, but he's a hope dealer on Friday mornings at 6:30 a.m. when his connection group meets right over there in the cafe. Hope dealer. As a matter of fact, he's the distributor. Matt's the hope, he's the plug, okay? Anthony over here, he's a hope dealer. What night your group meet, Anthony?
Tuesday.
Tuesday, what time?
Seven,
where at?
My house.
Ooh. He's a hope dealer because he learned how to deal hope from Matt. Anthony is so encouraging, empowering, and equipping, and he needs more and more men to be at his house on Tuesday nights. Because there's men in this room that need hope. There's men in this room that need an Anthony. There's men in this room that aren't available on Tuesday nights, so they need to go on Friday mornings. And guess what? There's couples in this room, and it's not just a couples group, but there's a lot of co-ed. Kevin's a hope dealer with his wife, Kim. They got a joint venture. I can keep going. Thank you so much, guys. Somebody needs to get to Anthony, too, and sign up for his group to get there. So why, if we have this hope in Jesus and we're called, why is there all this chaos? Why is there all this sickness? Why is there disease? Why is there murder? Why? I ask these same questions. Why do bad things happen, not only to us as individuals or as families, but why do bad things happen to the world? Why? I base my life and the way that I walk off of the Bible and a biblical worldview. And if we read the Bible, we see that here's the answer to that why. We live in a fallen world. Genesis 3, we live in a fallen world. Sin, death, disease, suffering entered the world through the fall of man through sin. We were created to live in paradise. And then Adam messed it up. He tried to blame it on Eve, and then because he didn't take responsibility. It was the woman you gave me. We live in a fallen world. Natural disasters, sickness, evil actions, brokenness, all of this is experienced because sin entered the world. We want to blame God, but it was us. I'm all for a comeback story. I'll root for the underdog all day. But here's what the promise is. Redemption is waiting for us. Romans 8, 22 through 23, redemption is waiting. Romans 5, verse 12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because who sinned? All. We're all sinners. Suffering, pain, sickness, disease, hatred, racism. All these things that we experience in our broken world are not personal punishments from God. Not at all. Now, here's where we shift. We're going to shift gears a little bit, okay? I also do believe that there is a sowing and reaping aspect to bad things. You've all heard this statement, play dumb games, win dumb prizes, right? Stop playing dumb games. If you teeter-totter on the what the world has to offer you long enough, you're going to fall farther than you already have. I don't know why my marriage is falling apart. Maybe because you won't stop going to the bar. I don't know why in the world my kids aren't listening, because they're following the model that's being given to them. I have no idea why the enemy keeps doing this to me. I got a flat tire. The enemy didn't do that. You ignoring it for the past 6 months and the cord showing did that. Sowing and reaping. My engine blew up. When's the last time you changed the oil? I have an oilless car. Oh, you have a Tesla? No, I got a Ford Escape. When's the last time you changed the oil? You get the whole sowing and reaping thing? Here we go. I forget how many days. It's probably like 97 days, something close to there. Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming. Every year it sneaks up on people. Financially, emotionally, spiritually, it sneaks up on people. Christmas is coming, and you don't need to buy everything you think you need to buy, so stop stressing about it. You know what your kids are going to remember? If you make breakfast consistently, the same thing every week. You know what Lennon looks forward to? Cinnamon rolls. You know how many times we've had cinnamon rolls the other 364 days of the year? A lot, but he looks forward to that. Don't allow things to sneak up on you. The enemy did not give you a flat tire. He didn't say, "Ooh, I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. Oh, I lost my job. Why did you lose your job?" Oh, well, I was late again. You got fired because you're late. You're not honoring the position of your life. That's the sowing and the reaping part. Matt alluded to it earlier, but I've gone back and forth on just letting some of you think that we still have a 10:45 worship experience when we start the 11, because then you'd be on time. No, I don't like that, Pastor. That wasn't nice. No, that's truth. Sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping. So I just want to continue to sow joy in everything that I do, in everything we do. Let's walk in faith and obedience in every single area of our life. John 10:10, the thief comes to only steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and life abundantly. God didn't say, I just came so you could have a little bit of joy, just a little bit, just, I came so you could just get through life. No, he wants you to experience life and life abundantly in everything that you do, the ups, the downs, the all arounds. God gave us a free will for what? To choose hope, to choose faith, to choose love, to choose obedience. It requires our choice, our free will. God is not going to force your hand, and you're definitely not going to force God's, but you need to choose. Let me explain free will to you. If I went to Rachel and said, you have to love me. I'm your husband now. Come on. That's not love. She's so mad I made her stand up in front of all you. She was on stage. That's not love. That's abuse. God's not going to abuse you and force you to do something. He wants you to choose it. He wants you to choose him. He wants you to choose life. And a joyful one at that. Pain and suffering and enduring bad things only push us closer to God. I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. He's just a walking quote. His life was just a quote of brilliant statements. God whispers to us in our pleasure and he shouts to us in our pain. Hey, I see what you're doing. Great job. Phenomenal job. I see the way that you're caring for your wife and your family or caring for your husband. I see the way that you're a friend. Great job. Hey, you got this. Get through it. You're going to make it. Just know that I got this. And sometimes you need people around you. They're going to scream just as loud as God in your life. Tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. I got some people in my life. If I want to hear something, I know who to call. They'll just commiserate. Right? But if I want to call and hear truth, I know who I'm going to call. They're going to tell me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear. You need to get to a group. People that are going to encourage you, empower you, and tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. I know I talked about two men's groups right here. Okay? There's not only two men's groups. There's lots of men's groups. There's 52 groups across the entirety of Bridge City Church. We're one church in four locations. There's a group for you. You just need to step out in faith and get there. Listen, pain and suffering can also have a purpose. All things will turn to good for those who love him and are walking according to his will. Pain and suffering refines our character. It refines our character. It helps us to grow in Christ and our relationship with him. It makes us more like Jesus. It makes us more like Jesus. It helps draw us closer to him. And it helps equip us to draw people closer to him and meet him for the first time. God will work everything to good for those who love him and are according to his will. You may be, there may be people in this room right now, you're walking through some heavy stuff, and I promise you, you walk through that in a God-honoring way with obedience and trusting in him and keep joy as the present thing, you will get to a point where God uses that for somebody else. There's a couple in this room right now that their marriage was falling apart and they stepped up and stepped into a faith moment. And now guess what? they're making the comment, we want to help other couples. We want to give other couples what was given to us, which was hope. God will use everything for his glory. Growth in Christ continues to make us more like Jesus, and that's the goal. God uses our pain and suffering to deepen our faith, to deepen our worship, to deepen our fellowship, to redefine and define our purpose, and to help us minister to others. That's what pain and suffering should look like if we're trusting in him. But we got to help ourselves walk through these things. The worship team's going to start to make their way up, and we're getting ready to pray for you all. But if we ask these three questions, it really helps us to get through some stuff in our life. And the questions are, what's happening to me? You got to figure out what's happening to you. Is it a spiritual thing? Is it an emotional thing? Is it a mental thing? Is it a physical thing? Is it a financial thing? What's happening to you? Then what's happening inside of you? What's coming out? Is it faith? Is it fear? Is it frustration? Is it anger? Has it already taken root in its bitterness now? What's happening inside of you? The stuff that nobody can see. Next question. What's God doing with me? I'm going to use my wife as an example again. She's like, it's like her example day. Congratulations, babe. When she married me, she part of our vows were that she knew that she would forever be an illustration. She submitted to that. She forever will be a sermon illustration. Lennon is not a sermon illustration unless I ask his permission. And if he says no, I'm like, come on, buddy, please. Rachel is a perfect example. She's one of the most loyal people in the world. And it wasn't her first job. It was her first job she stuck with. She worked at Luciano's for a day. She worked at Wendy's for a day in high school. She wasn't cut out for the drive-through or the pizza life. So when she first started high school, she got a job at the Stinta movie theaters. And she worked until she was pretty much managing the place. It was 12 years. Did you work there for 12 years? I'm happy I remember you don't. 12 years she worked there. And at one point, Rachel was so upset that she was there. And I said, baby, you got to start asking the question of what God wants to do in you and through you while you are there. And once she started asking that question, young kids that worked, teenagers that worked with her and worked under her, started asking deep, deep questions about life. I'm talking about young ladies that were hurting themselves, or young ladies that were in abusive relationships, or young men that just saw the way that Rachel and I interacted and wanted that and desired that. God changed that because of a question was being asked differently. Questions are powerful. Don't ask the question anymore, God, why are you doing this, God? Ask him, God, what do you want to do through this situation and through me? Questions change things. And here, this is what we're living for. Revelation 21, verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That's a promise that all the stuff we're asking God, why do good, bad things happen to good people? And why is there pain and sorrow and suffering? There's a promise for it to all go away. And how do we receive that promise? We receive what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and we know where we're going. You would never go on a road trip without knowing your destination. Why go through the journey of life and not know your destination 100%? Hebrews, we're going to land the plane here. Chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weaknesses, but one who in every aspect has been tempted as we are, yet he did it without sinning. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. I don't know about you, but I need all the grace and mercy I can get. And it's promised to us. It's promised that we get to walk in his grace and in his mercy all the days of our life. But you have to have first received him. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. All of us are working a job of sin, which is separation between you and God. And one day, maybe even right now, you're going to get paid for that job. And the payment for sin is death. And I'm not talking about a physical death, like you're not going to die right this second, but you are going to live a slow and agonizing death that is spiritual, and you're separated from him, and you won't have hope, and you won't be able to keep score for joy. All those things are going to happen if you didn't have a but God moment. And that but God moment in Romans 6:23 is that you could have eternal life if you've received the gift that Jesus gave to you on the cross. Sin can no longer be your master. He's Lord. So listen, if you don't have that day, that time, that place, that moment where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want today to be your day. September 21st. You even got a song about your salvation day if you're gonna receive Jesus today. It was the 21st of September. Little Earth, Wind, and Fire? No Earth, Wind, and Fire fans? If you don't have a day of time, just slip your hand up to heaven and say, Jesus, that's me. I don't have a day where I've received you as my Lord and Savior. I don't have a time where I know that I have fully received the gift that's been given to me by Jesus Christ on the cross. I don't have a day where I solidified my eternity by what you did on the cross for me. Prayer team, you can start to make your way forward. Everybody, why don't you stand to your feet with me? We're gonna have some grace and mercy dealings now. I don't know if you walked into this place overflowing with joy and peace and mercy in your life, but I would guarantee probably that there's some people in this place that you walked in here feeling a heavy burden, feeling a weight that you weren't called to carry, feeling fear or stress or anxiety or pain that you weren't called to carry. You were called to endure in faith. We're going to have a moment where we just pray for everybody. And everybody, we're going to worship too. We're going to have the worship team will be leading us. But if you need some more grace and mercy in your life, we have people that are prepared to pray for you and with you. If you need some more faith in your life, we have people that are prepared to pray for you. And as we are praying for individuals up front, let's just continue to worship God from our seats. Create an environment of worship. Amen. So you can come down the center aisles, and then the ushers will...